Yes. Put a dick in it and make it gay.
Huh. Weird. Yeah.
They don't want to really fix anything.
Like, for example, Tony Gonzalez.
Hollywood has gotten way too...
Ban me if you want to.
It's good to meet you finally, man.
It's good to meet you, too. We have to get you on one of our shows. I know you guys are... You're busy.
You're not.
You got nothing going on.
Fuck you.
We got to get you on our show. Like I said, my co-hosts are all jealous.
That was the very polite way of saying, you're too political. I don't want you on.
No. It is totally fine. Alex Jones, Gavin McGinnis, Vivek Ramsey, Ramaswamy. I always say Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey.
Vivek Ramaswamy.
Ramaswamy, because I'm too racist to say his name. So.
Understandable. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
It's a very brown name.
Yes. It's way too brown for my white lips.
You just white. You just whitewashed Vivek. Yeah.
I just want a shirt that says white lips. Sure.
Man, these last two podcasts have started out fucking hard. Yeah,
dude. Indian people have no riz. Mood to heart.
Was that 7-Eleven or 9-Eleven?
Same thing.
God, I love this. Cody?
Neither one are getting into heaven.
No. No.
Jesus. Oh, Cody, we ready?
Three. Oh, it's popping it.
Three, two, what? Three. Two, one.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Unsubscribed Podcast. I'm joined today by Eli Doublefap, Mr. Nerdronic. Nerdronic. Nerdtronic.
Nerdrotic Nerdronic. Is fine.
Yeah, that's good. Yo, our boy Gary.
Our boy Gary. Brandon Herrera and myself, Donut Operator. Thank you for tuning in.
Dude, we're so excited to have you. Like, this is going to be just a nerd out. Have some good talks. You've had an amazing life. Very up
been
and
weird.
Down.
It's been weird.
It's and then some of the best content, especially for the nerd community, that you can just watch for 30 minutes at a time, 40 minutes at a time.
Especially for the real nerd community, not the community that just like sits there and guzzles anything fucking Marvel, DC, Disney, anything puts out, but the actual nerds that get fucking pissed off when they screw it up.
Yeah, not the consumer, not the pop vinyl owner who likes a t-shirt and likes it just because it's popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
The nerds Funko who've been Pop. Around.
I'm consuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
694,600 right now.
994,000. Yes.
It's no shit.
Let's get this man to a million subscribers.
Better be guys. Fucking mil by the time this up Saturday. This better be a mil. One mil. Yours. We would love also a million subscribers by Saturday, too.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was a little funny. Unsubscribe at 316,000. It's like, we'll get them to a million tomorrow.
Hey. Well, you guys are at more places than YouTube, which I just found out. So, because I'm really bad at my job. But
so are we. It's okay.
It's nice being in a place where I can, like, touch people I'm talking to. I mean, not inappropriately, or at least not now, but maybe
not
later.
On camera.
Maybe later. But usually just by myself in a room.
We'll see what happens, Gary.
Not to be too forward.
See how many drinks are across this table at the end of
too
this podcast.
Too many cokes, man. I don't know.
Those white lips are going to work. this is going to be one of those episodes.
Oh, shit.
So you started, what year did you start your journey into YouTube?
2014. It was right after I sold my, I had to sell my comic shop because I relapsed. And it was really sad. It was very sad, but I had to do it because my life had just gone to crap. So it was either like keep the comic store going, keep getting high, or keep my family. So I kept my family, sold the comic store, and started a podcast just to stay in the nerd stuff.
Yeah.
And I personally hate the word community because I think it's a commie word. So I use the fellowship instead. But
oh, my boy. We call it a gang.
There we go. Gang, syndicate, something. Yeah. I hear too many people from Hollywood say community. But it's fine if you use it. But it was just a hobby. And I had to kind of start over and, work parts jobs again. So, yeah, me and a friend did our first one in San Francisco in a Starbucks. That was my first podcast. And we did like two a month for a few years now, 10 years on.
Dude, yeah. Here we are.
You've been through the grind on this, and you're going. So your nerd shop, that was, you said you relapsed. So before
I think
that,
it's called a comic book store.
A comic
nerd
book
shop. Yeah, comic nerd book store.
Oh, wow. So anyway, about this fucking nerd shit shop. That you fucking did.
As man with Goku on his hand.
Yes.
So anyway, the virgin bar you had.
I mean, that's not far from the truth. But, you know. It's all good.
How long did it take to build that? Because you had, as you said, you relapsed. And before that, you were like, hey, I'm going to do... You had your issues when you were younger. You got that sorted.
Had a lot of issues when I was in my teenage years and stuff. Went to prison, got out, cleaned up, got married, divorced, married again, moved to San Francisco, and started a comic shop. And did it for 10 years, and it was tons of fun. I had no idea what I was doing. I'd never owned a business before, so I read that. Well, I only read like a quarter of Small Business for Dummies, and I thought, I got this, you know. And
I've seen The Simpsons.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Went to my head a little bit. That's probably why I relapsed, that's exactly why I relapsed. It went to my head, and I stopped going to meetings, and I got lost my sponsor, and that's how I relapsed. But it was fun, and the clients were fun, and yes, it was in San Francisco, but it was very working class comic shop, so normal people, regular folk.
I was just gonna ask, like, it's a comic book shop in San Francisco. Did you ever run into any crazy people, like famous people or people that you like,
Mark?
I'm trying to remember, like Jay Silent Bob,
Kevin Smith,
Smith, like somebody, like people in the space.
So Robin Williams, huge. Comic collector, toy collector, went in my store a couple times. He made rounds to all the stores in San Francisco because he lived there.
His daughter's named Zelda.
Yeah, rest in peace. Yeah. And Peter Jackson and Philippa Boyens, that was the biggest one ever.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I about had a heart attack when it came
holy
in.
Holy shit.
I kept the receipt. I still have it, by the way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you hate Lord of the Rings, by the way.
I fucking despise it.
Freaking terrible. We're so overrated.
Holy shit. Dude, Peter Jackson walks in your story, I'd just be like...
I didn't recognize him first because it was right after he did King Kong. I think it was right around this time. Mm-hmm. And he lost all that weight.
All that weight.
So at first I'm like, what British rock star just walked into my... I'm like, oh my God, that's... Because I recognized Philippa Boyens, who co-wrote the script for Lord of the Rings. So I recognized her.
That's a dedicated fan to recognize that guy.
Her.
Oh. See, I'm not a dedicated fan.
Hey, women... Wrote the script. Like, oh. Yeah, apparently women didn't write anything prior to 2016, but they did. And that was cool. They bought a bunch of Why the Last Man, a full run of Why the Last Man, and hung out for about a half an hour. We chatted with them. They're super nice. Yeah.
You got a photo?
I don't have a photo.
Oh.
It was before that, like, just have your phone. Tyrese Gibson.
I've got 18 pixels from my Razor. Like,
Tyrese Gibson and he brought MC Hammer. Over MC Hammer rolls up in a like a
purple Lambo.
It was before Hellcat. It was a muscle car that this is like 2007. I can't remember which was around back then. And then he walks out with his $9,000 leather jacket on that he had to tell me this leather jacket because I said nice leather. He's all, it's $9,000. I'm like, shit. That's a lot of money. Tyrese. Like,
wow, you haven't had a hit in 30 years. You probably shouldn't be spending your money
probably
like that.
Probably not. Well, he had his reality show, right, for a little while after that. I don't know what's happened to him since. But, yeah, Tyrese
I don't know
had
if
a comic
alive.
Book, and we released it in the store, and Tyrese was funny. I still have his phone number. Should we call him?
God.
But he calls me at 1 in the morning. He's all, Gary, dog, we got to talk about this event tomorrow. I'm like, dude, it's 1 in the morning, and it's... We're fine. You just show up and you sign comic books. What do we need to talk about? He's all, I'm going to bring some people over. And he did. And it was great. It was a huge event. But
I'm confused. Tyrese Gibson?
Tyrese Gibson, Fast and the Furious. Tyrese Gibson.
Oh, that one. I was wondering if you were about to go into Ebonics there. You started like you were gonna.
I was going, dog. D-A-W-G.
So you did? Dang.
Yeah, okay, so awesome. We had a lot of Ray Stevenson from Rome. Who just passed away. May he rest in peace. He played the Punisher in Punisher Warzone. He came by. I didn't have a lot of comic book writers and artists over because they were dicks. Like, sorry, guys.
Really?
Yeah, they were mostly like hard to deal with, and I just
were they just like autistic and didn't like to like they didn't talk well with people, or were they like self-absorbed,
overvalued like how many people would show up? And I would, like while I was a fan, and like our customer base would, but it's supposed to bring in like new people, so you know, it wasn't even like. If they were big, they had to be like people I liked. And after a couple of bad experiences, I just said, forget it, you know. And I started doing more fan stuff oriented stuff after that. So,
and then shit, when dude. Did your like, when did you feel that first wave for, hey, I'm doing the comics, just did sold it, relapse, got better. And then you're like, hey, I'm going full fledged into YouTube.
That was weird. I was just reviewing TV and stuff, and there was like no, like the culture war hadn't sparked, or the pop culture war hadn't sparked up. It was, you know, it was getting there. And I was working at Tesla, and, you know,
as one does in San Francisco,
as one does in San Francisco, as well, like one of my 15th jobs after the comic store, cause I just kept changing jobs to get more pay. And, it's more complicated than that, but that's pretty much what was it. And, Doctor Who comes up. So Last Jedi just happened. Everybody hates The Last Jedi. This is what kind of sparked. I don't want to go too far in the lore, but Ghostbusters 2016, Last Jedi sparked pop culture war.
All my homies hate The Last Jedi.
Because it sucks. It's a piece of shit. And Ghostbusters 2016 was a piece of shit. But Doctor Who comes along, and that's like the next franchise to fall, and they turn the Doctor, like my favorite all-time show. They turn it into a girl. And I just said this controversial thing, like the Doctor's a dude. It's not a girl.
Smith or Tennant?
Right now, Smith.
They retconned everything with one single episode. Donut, do you know about this? Like, they retconned.
You know Doctor Who at all?
Oh, yeah. I followed Doctor Who for a while there.
Yeah.
I stopped watching it. Oh, well, fucking 6 years ago.
Yeah.
I struggled through Capaldi. And then after that, I'm done. I didn't. The new chick,
she was terrible. It was preachy. Capaldi was like the best doctor in the worst episodes, which really sucked.
I could see that. Yeah.
But Smith.
Well, didn't like sword fighting with a spoon? That wasn't the peak doctor for you?
I didn't like him talking about the whitewashing of history and calling out Trump. I love the Trump derangement episode, which we had another one with Jody. Yeah. Oh yeah, it got bad. It got bad even before Jody.
It's literally British broadcast. It's British propaganda, the whole thing. It's just like
state liberal. Run. Yeah. But it used to like not be. It used to be for everybody.
Imagine not shitting on half an audience base.
I know.
And just staying like, hey, what's the main point of this? Oh, for people to have a good time.
What if we just told a good story? You know? And everybody just enjoyed it.
But what about girl power, politics, everything like that? And you're like,
the message.
The message. Versus, look at Aliens. Ripley's a fucking dope ass character. And guess what? Wasn't shoved down our throat the entire time. She was just a badass. Like, that was the end of that message.
And everybody fucking, that's like one of the quintessential dude movies is Aliens.
Aliens. You're like, this is fucking dope as shit.
Well, but because she had to struggle through trauma first. Like, she had to struggle through the first alien to get to Aliens. That's why everybody likes it. You're like, okay, yeah, I get it. You're a badass now. This is fine.
James Cameron James Cameron, Ridley Scott, they were writing those characters proper back in the day before even Sarah they started Connor, shifting.
James Cameron, Sarah Connor.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they had characters, female time ladies, they called them. They could have done a show on, but they decided to. Even Stephen Moffat, the guy who was running the show prior to her showing up, said it would be a desperation move, and it was, and it killed the ratings. And I just pointed that out, and that's when the channel started blowing up, because I just had that controversial opinion, which...
crazy of you, dude.
I know. Well, it just shows how, like, what a parody world we were entering. I mean, things are still bad now. It's like turning around, but things are, like, comical now. So I did that, and... I saw it blowing up pretty quick, and I'm like, you know what? I should take a shot at this YouTube thing. I can do parts anywhere. I can get that job. So I somehow convinced my wife. I'm like, hey, I'm going to do this YouTube thing for 6 months. If it doesn't work out, you know, I'll just go back to another job. She's like, sure. Okay. And it worked. Like, within a couple of months, it was enough to where I could
Sustain.
Browsing the internet without using ExpressVPN is like dropping your dogs off and having them be watched by the HOA. Browsing the internet without ExpressVPN is like walking your dog without a leash. It's dangerous. It's better to be careful. And that's why you always use ExpressVPN. Every time you connect to an unencrypted network, such as cafes, hotels, airports, your online data is not secure. Oh, any hacker on that network can gain access and steal all your data. It would take a hacker with a supercomputer over a billion years to get past ExpressVPN's encryption. And ExpressVPN works on all your devices, computers, tablets, phones, even your smart TV. It's easy to use. Just fire up that app, click one button, and boom, bah! I use it to browse nefarious websites. But on a serious note, we all use ExpressVPN because it is simple, it works, and it is effective. Get an extra 3 months free right now over at expressvpn.com/unsub. That's expressvpn.com/unsub.
Do you edit your own stuff?
I did in the beginning. Okay. I have editors now, but in the beginning, I did all my own thumbnails, editing. I did that for years.
Because your attention beats on your edits are so good.
Well, that's my editors now. So that's Quarterback Garrett from Crowder and Perry Chan. They're two of the best in the business.
As Cody's saying, like the retention beats, the shifts, the sound effects, like everything about it is amazing. But more importantly, you refine your craft out the gate, which a lot of people's like, oh, I don't want to learn to edit. You're like, I'm going to do all this and then learn to edit and kick this out myself. So then, and it helps you in the future because you know when you're recording yourself, you guys fucking perfect. When you suck on camera, you learn real quick why you suck editing your shit. You're like,
yep.
I say a lot.
And I think all of the successful YouTubers we talk to, at least, the vast majority, we all started out filming our own stuff and editing our own stuff and editing all our own thumbnails, everything, like doing everything ourselves before we could hire somebody to know what to do, right?
Yeah.
You can't just get a turnkey team. It's like, how do you tell them what to do if you've never fucking done it yourself?
Yes. No, it's such a weird process because I didn't have to go out and find them. They found me. They were they liked the channel. And Perry was just doing like little intros for Friday Night Tights that were freaking hilarious. I'm like, hey, you should edit. And he's like, I've never edited before. I'm like, I will figure it out. And he did. Garrett obviously had lots of experience with Crowder. But they came to me because they like the channel, and it helps to have editors who like know who you are.
And the audience, it's so easy. Like all you have to do is have a successful YouTube channel, and then all the right people will find you.
Yeah. So simple. Come on, what is your excuse, guys?
Sign up to my class, $1,000 a month.
Learn
how to do thumbnails. That's right.
I just like, it's like thumbnails, titles. Figure that shit out. It's not rocket science. Make good content.
Yeah, learn how to put Brie Larson's head on a muscly body.
Dude, I can see all your shift, and that's probably when it registered with like the views hitting those big numbers, because you're like, oh, we're doing more of these videos.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing a lot more of these
right
videos.
Right now, Sydney Sweeney being on a thumbnail does not hurt. So
I'll have to try that. Next gun meme review is just going to be my head on Sweeney's body.
Sweeney's body. There you go.
Oh, man, your journey. And then now you're crushing it. You run a live show. And then most importantly, you're, as everyone was saying, you are super into nerd culture. And you have that different side of the nerd culture, because we have like the anime, video games. Brandon's getting into video games later in life. Like, you did gaming.
Oh,
but
dude, I've been gaming my whole life. What are you talking about?
Hold on. PC.
I just had my fucking cred run through the dirt just now.
Sorry, veteran Brandon. PC.
Fuck off. Dude, I was a gamer since Halo 2, dude. Fuck off.
Yeah. Okay, so it was that watching you keyboard and mouse the first time is still one of my favorite stories, because we were.
Was it your birthday fucking 5 years ago?
We had a 35-year-old man having a birthday. And we had six, seven people at my house sleeping on blow-up mattresses, landing it up and streaming it. And we had some really good stories from that night on my stream.
A bunch of people getting drunk and saying it on Twitch.
And then calling him out, like, it's on my stream live. I'm like, wait, you can't say that. And then
say what?
So it's this back and forth. We're all dying. And Brandon, though, is learning how to do keyboard and mouse because you weren't used to that. He's like, space. No. You look down to find the space key.
Yeah, because I was a console gamer. Like, I'd never done PC. Now I play PC on everything. I don't even own a console anymore.
That happened to me. I was like, only console till Counter-Strike 1.2 back in the day. And then I was like, oh, I got to learn keyboard and mouse.
Did we ever talk about like getting tattoos at your birthday party?
Oh, fuck. I forgot we did that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still got to get that one.
Yeah, we have an artist. Okay. Yeah, we have Will.
I was just like, you woke up and we'll do it prison style. We'll, you know, get a guitar string and some ink. Yeah.
It's like, this is
how I didn't even know about the guitar string.
Guitar string, yeah.
G-Ban put that up.
Shit.
Well, this is how nerdy we fucking are, man. Like, you have Berserk on one arm. You got on your back. What's your entire back?
My Hero Academia, Metal Gear Solid, Ito. It's Japanese.
Yeah, I have Cowboy Bebop.
We're just ignoring the fact that we've all seen Eli shirtless. We just breezed over that one real quick.
Eli, what is this?
But yeah, your birthday party. We all got our fucking gang tats.
Oh, smiley faces. Brandon's getting his soon.
I still need to get Will. I need to get mine.
Brandon has no tattoos yet.
No, virgin skin.
Go. Actually, guys, go out there. Guys, gals, go out and get some smiley faces and send those in on the comment section. Oh, or
you know, Reddit. You know they're going to do it.
Yeah. That's,
I know what the subreddit's going to look like in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Just a whole bunch of smiley faces. We're like, fucking, yes.
You're going to get somebody like gets it in a very unemployable place. And we're just like, fuck.
Not on your hand. And then you are here. Boondock Saints fan.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She.
How did I know?
Oh, there you go.
That's fucking
hard. Oh, yeah. That's literally one of my notes on my phone. Once I seen you at the, I was like, ask about Boondock Saints. I was like, hey, this guy gets it. Awesome, awesome fucking movie and hilarious backstory with that director.
Overnight, the documentary, which now comes with the movie, is great.
Bo, you want to see a director that got too big for his britches?
Uh-huh.
Off of that one, and they were like, you go fuck yourself, dude. You
really?
Because it was like a cult classic, right? Like, it didn't do good in theaters or anything.
No, but it was like the hottest script in Hollywood. So he was a bouncer, and he wrote a script, and like everybody wanted it, and he was going to direct it himself, and there were just a camera crew was going to follow him around during the experience, and they saw him like slowly just going insane.
So like the Stallone thing for Rocky, but it just didn't work out.
They did a sequel though. I mean, he like came correct later and did a sequel, which I mean, I like it. Wasn't as good, but I like it a lot. You know?
This dude was so like, he was talking, he just turned into a arrogant asshole at parties.
Yep.
Like he was like, this is my fucking thing. He was like, even the executive was like,
before the first one.
This is during the
making of the first one, yeah.
Oh, God.
This is before it filmed. He was the hottest shit ever, even though, again, he hadn't even released this yet. He just was that clout.
To be fair, went to his head. You went from being a bouncer to bossing Willem Dafoe around.
Yeah.
So, like,
winning.
I mean, if we look back at it now, it's probably considered Me Too stuff, but it's probably tame. Compared to like Harvey Weinstein,
tame compared to the actual shit happening in Hollywood at the time.
There was a firefight.
There was a firefight, and you know, he did make an all-time great cult classic, so he could back it up a little bit. I think
a little bit.
What happened to the cat?
Oh, I was like the best comedy beats. Like, it's drunk, everyone's having fun, it's getting, and then the gun goes off. It's like, that beat with the blood on the wall.
Because you know guns do that.
Yeah, I know.
You just slam a table and you know the guns will go off. That's
those Berettas.
Oh man, if it was a Sig 320,
I was going to say 320.
Maybe.
I obviously know what they're talking about. Every bit of it. About as much as gaming.
Are you huge into gaming?
Oh, I'm known as the best gamer on the planet. No, I'm terrible.
No shit.
Freaking awful. I'll play it. I do gaming streams, but because I'm so bad.
All right.
But I've always been bad. Like, even when I played when I was young, I was bad.
We got to play Helldivers 2 tonight then.
Fuck yes.
That was so fun.
That was fun as shit. We all did that last night. We just got, you know, we didn't stream it. We didn't anything. We just like got together and the boys just gamed for the first time in fucking years.
Oh, that's great. And everybody I know is playing it. I would make the game very long. Very long and frustrating.
You'll just have a good time for democracy.
For democracy.
For democracy.
For managed democracy.
Yes.
It is a Starship Troopers. Just
through
and through the comedy, how they do it. Because they know it's just over the top. And they're not treating it as this like serious thing. They're like, no, fuck this. You watch the starting intro. I sent it to Cody and I got a text back. She's like, holy shit. I have to play this. I was like, yes.
It's just like the Starship Troopers movie where it's like a parody of the source material. Mm-hmm. Like it's over the top, like, you know, clearly like semi-fascist government or whatever, but it's like everybody's very jingoistic. Like, oh, this is for liberty. You know, that whole vibe. It's fun. It's really fun.
And we really shouldn't kill all the very kind communist bugs, you know?
They're like, threatening no, no. our way of life.
Oh, yes.
Oh, democracy.
Boom. The year's 2024. Do you know what that means? A new look for you. Manscaped has the 5.0 Lawnmower Ultra. That's right. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is a man's cheat code to looking good, feeling good, and have all the confidence. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or make sure everything's gone, this has you covered. Trusted by 10 million men worldwide. I actually use this. I endorse this. I use all their products. Equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little bit off the top, and a new foil blade to take everything off comfortably. And for the dudes out there that want a full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. In that grooming kit, you get the trusted lawnmower, Manscaped's ears and nose hair trimmers, and essential aftercare products with the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. Head over to manscaped.com and use code UNSUB and get yourself 20% off and free shipping. Oh, I love free shipping. Make your balls and your spouse happy.
Going into your favorite, so is your favorite film series Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
No, he hates it, dude.
No.
That is, okay, so that, Cody's like, you fucking
despise. So what did you think of Rings of Power, then?
That's what I was about to say. Rings of Power was shit, and I knew it would be shit. It was funny how it played out, because once we heard that they were making, when I first heard it, I'm like, cool, Second Age, right on. And then I heard that they didn't have the rights to the Silmarillion, so I don't know how the hell you were going to do it. And then I found out they had the rights to the appendices. Then we found out, and this is years ahead, that Bad Reboot, they're from Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams. I won't go down that. It's terrible, terrible organization. They suck. They screwed up Star Wars. They screwed up Star Trek. And now they're offshoots. People like who weren't even good enough to work there took over the Rings of Power. The guys who run the Rings of Power wrote half of a bad Star Trek script, Star Trek Beyond. You remember that movie?
Yeah.
I hated it.
That was the third one.
That was the third one. They doctored a bit of that script. So they were given, they were put in charge of the most expensive TV show of all time and to adapt the greatest story ever written. And we just started clowning it. Cause once I heard that, I'm like, well, we've seen intersectional feminism in Star Trek and Star Wars and Marvel and just about everything. So I wouldn't be surprised if Galadriel was like all in armor and slaying orcs like she's cutting through butter. And then sure as shit, that's what they did. Yeah. And it was a joke. And like,
they watched your segment. You probably predictable.
Oh my God. It was terrible. I can't even get into that. Like, they had instances where she swam across the ocean, in the middle of the ocean, she just runs into Sauron on a raft. It's just, it's the dumbest thing ever. If you don't understand the source material, it's hard to explain. But think The Last Jedi, but 1,000 times worse. That's what it was. And
you have good source. Like, the Tolkien family was like, no, you can't fucking touch this.
Thank God.
There's certain stuff that they couldn't, like, part of the Tolkien family sold them out, but they said you can only do the appendices. So it's like this much of the book at the end. It's like that much of the book that are adapting. And the worst part about it was like subverting everything Tolkien believed. Tolkien was a devout Catholic. This is a Christian work. I'm not even Christian, I'm saying this, but it has tons of themes.
Yeah.
And it's also not fantasy. It's written as a faux mythology that Tolkien felt, you know, England was robbed of, because they were.
Yeah.
And they lost a lot of their oral tradition and everything through, you know, being conquered a lot. Maybe they shouldn't have been conquered so much, but that's the way it goes. And it didn't look very authentic. We had elves of color. We had hobbits of color.
And the irony of that, considering the original intent behind the Tolkien and everything like that, it
goes back to South Park.
Make it really gay does. And lame.
Yes.
Put a chick in it and make it gay. Make it fucking lame.
And I want it lame. It's my favorite part. No, it's...
It's frustrating because I can't go down the rabbit hole on this. It would take too long to explain, but Tolkien accounted for other races in his world. Like, it's there. But they flipped them on its head so they can just have, oh, we want to have, because, you know, people, everybody now needs to see themselves in everything. You know, like, I can't watch Buffy anymore because I've never been a teenage vampire slayer. So I can't identify with her, obviously. I can't watch Angel. I've never been a vampire. So we have to see ourselves in everything. It's like super narcissistic, and it kills imagination. And they could have had any race they wanted into. They decided to flip it on its head. And on top of all that, you could, as a Tolkien fan, you could tell what they didn't have rights to. So they had the, you know, they couldn't say hobbits.
What?
You can't say the word hobbits in there.
You gotta say Habba.
No, no. Uh-huh.
You're gonna say Hobbit with hobbits. A hard T.
They couldn't use Gandalf, so they had Gandalf in it. They had Gandalf in it, but they didn't call him Gandalf. So that stranger,
is he just the wizard? Oh,
he's called the stranger because they don't have rights to the.
It's the Gray. What's up, Gray?
So
high five.
Warner Brothers still has the rights because so instead of the hobbits, they're called the Harfoots, which is a breed of hobbit. But it's still a hobbit, but they're calling them the Harfoots, who are the worst people ever, by the way. They have a whole speech on how they travel. They migrate. You know, they're nomads.
They like
and if anybody, yeah, if anybody.
They're like gypsies.
they're like gypsies. And if you fall behind, you're screwed. If you sprain your ankle, they're not going to stop for you. They're just going to leave you to die. It's really messed up and stupid. But they subverted everything possible in it. I'm surprised they didn't. Have a gay story. That'll probably be next season. I'm probably saving it for next season. Because, you know, Tolkien, really down.
Yeah, dude, they gotta fucking eat some strawberries.
To be fair, he was Catholic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the orc fucked the boy. Wow, that's really...
Wow, that was... You were very descriptive up until that point.
Wow. Yes. That was short in one sentence. Like, huh...
No, his brother was a Catholic priest, so one of his. Yeah,
I love, like, if you guys have Salma, like, you've read Dune, Cody. You've read all the Dune series. Like, the world Tolkien built, especially Salmarilla. I did hate that Hobbit was three movies instead of one, and then Lord of the Rings, which is a book a piece, and they made like 3 hours per movie, and you're like, hey, this makes sense. Hobbit, like, let's stretch his bitch out as much as possible.
It was money.
It was Peter Jackson got fucked taking over that one. That's my favorite story. Is like, after everything, they paid him enough money to be like, okay, I'll do it. After two directors, I think at that point,
Guillermo del Toro got fired. Yeah,
he said he left, but he
Del
got Toro.
You didn't know this?
Del Toro was gonna fucking direct.
Yeah. Yeah. He was
very influential on the first one. You'll see a lot of his stuff in the first one.
Yeah. That's why when we had dope orcs, like the actual the white orc.
The pale orc?
The pale orc. Sorry. Yeah. Pale orc, the original costume design for that, there was no CG. It was an actual dude in a costume like the original three, and it looked so goddamn.
Yeah, and they
gangster.
CG'd it. It was pretty terrible. After that.
Yeah, Del Toro, and I swear
there
was one
frame
more.
Rate they ran too. It was 48. Like, it was 48 frames per second.
Yeah, everything looked
second.
Super choppy and weird.
It looked really weird.
Oh shit, that actually does look dope. Yeah, like,
yeah, that's rad.
Looks so much better. The gray one. It looked, and they have a full body too, like him standing, and it's gangster looking.
Way better.
God
but,
damn.
Oh well.
Okay, that's fucking rad.
I would have watched it then, but then
it's just like the fucking, I'm sorry, like Hollywood does this all the fucking time. Oh, yeah. Like just with the reboot of The Thing or the prequel to The Thing,
bring that up.
Where they did everything practical effects, just like the original movie, like the original 1980s Thing. They did like just the super, cause that was like the pinnacle of practical effects. And they recorded the whole fucking movie with practical effects. They even had, I think it was like Tom Savini, like the real like OG dudes. And then the studio's like, nah, it looks too old school. Make everything CG. And so they CG'd over the practical effects.
And they still
in
over
the final cut.
And that's what fucking kills me. And they have side by sides and you can see the practical and it looks so much better. And they're like, it was that weird part of like 2010 to 20 where they're like, hey, we need more CG. No, it needs to look more video game. And you're like, no.
It looked cool as fuck, dude.
Yeah. And it's led to the crap CG we have now. which is just lazy. And well,
you praised the Dune, which
Dune was great because they prevised and they plan everything. You know, I don't mean to disrespect the CG artists who are soon to be out of jobs within 5 years because of AI. But yeah, they were overworked at Marvel and they got screwed over at Marvel because they're always basically having to redo stuff on the fly and meet some ridiculous release date. But yeah, Dune was good. We actually talked to the guy at Comic-Con. He just said, yeah, we planned everything and we stuck with the plan. We didn't like reshoot anything. And yeah, Dune 2 was a masterpiece as far as visual.
Yeah, do you see where Frank Herbert's son came out and was like, thank you. Like, this is my dad's, like, this is what my dad wanted.
Wait, no, I did not see this.
What? Yeah, he did.
Yeah, yeah, Frank Herbert, who wrote Dune, yeah, he came out and like his son came out. He said something on Twitter. He was just like, "Thank you for imagining my dad's like what he wanted the entire time."
I mean,
like his son is even happy that like they did such a good job at showing that story.
Well, it's better than you know, the 1980s Patrick Stewart with the you know early CG Tetris shields.
That's when VFX was not the easiest thing. And they were doing it on the Lynch camera
version. Yeah.
They didn't have the tech. And you know what? I mean, it wasn't awful for the time, but compared to the new one, it's kind of like, would you rather get on an Airbus or the Wright Brothers plane?
Mm-hmm. You're like, ooh.
I have them both. I've never got through the book. I've never been able to get through the book. I've tried.
Your beat killed me because you're like, I can't read it. I cannot. And then it's like, he.
Yeah.
To the. It's like that.
I know. Oh, that.
Because it is. It's a read. Depending on the author, even fucking Tolkien. Awesome. Dear God, does homeboy like to describe shit?
Like 3 pages later. It's a fucking lake.
It's a lake.
Yes.
And you're like, bro, now in the world building language, it's fucking fantastic. It's just like, hey, like maybe speed, like Patrick Rothfuss. He's one of my new favorite authors. That dude has it where it's like, I'm explaining a new science and how magic functions, but I do it really well in 1200 pages or 1500 pages. And he just lets it go. And now, unfortunately, since he had two massive successful books, we're on a decade waiting for book 3 now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just like we'll finally one day get the last Game of Thrones book.
When he dies.
Second to last. Yeah. It's been over 4,400 days since the last book came out. But who's counting?
Who's counting?
Yeah.
Bro, we've got to count down on those arteries. Like, it's not going to. Oh, yeah. We don't have that much longer, man.
No. He does not. He's not a healthy man, George R. R. Martin. And not grateful either. He should just tell people he doesn't want to finish. That's all he, like, at this point, it's 10 years. And a lot of that book, by the way, was already written. So there's like 11 chapters that he already wrote that were kicked out of a Dance with Dragons. So he's had that, and he had COVID, where he had the strike, where he couldn't write any TV.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And he had plenty of time to do it, and he's just not interested.
Yeah, the pussy strike.
Is that what it was called?
I don't know. That's what I call it.
Yeah. Hey, that strike was great. It was great for my channel because the strike videos did really well. But
That was the writer's
They were both writers and the Film Actors Guild were both on strike.
The Film Actors Guild?
Yeah, I call them the Film Actors Guild.
We're always calling them the Film Actors Guild. Cody, so they
Matt Damon.
Acronym in your head.
Matt Damon.
I know. I know. I'm listening, Eli. I know about the Film Actors Guild. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah, they were gone for 6 months. It was great. It was quiet, no idiocy other than on the picket line. But
we deserve to get paid for the bad art we are writing. And you're like, guys, it's no different than any other job. 90% of people. Probably, especially writers. I've read what comes out. I've worked in that industry. I've been on a TV show in that industry, and you get to see the trash that gets pushed forward, and it is fucking insane. And then when execs, because I don't know if you've done anything with like actual TV channels, but when you have executives, they will come in and change. Like these are people that don't do anything, and they will come and change shows and pitch jokes for the talent to say. And you have to, as a talent, you have to be like,
this sounds oddly like personal experience, Eli.
Huh.
Weird.
Yeah.
They like, and I had to write, and my director would come and he's like, Eli, read this joke real quick. I'd read it. And I'm like, fuck no, I'm not saying it. He's like, okay, now I can tell the executives he doesn't want to say that. It was an actual from the director to me to back. And you're like, how anything that goes public or there's a board or executives, y'all fucking just shut the fuck up and make money or let everyone make money.
Well, it's just like any other thing where creative is involved. It's death by committee.
Yes. Yep.
It's just like people who have never succeeded at something who just got a board position that are putting their fucking input where it doesn't belong.
And yeah, well, they're like, my joke will be funny.
Yeah.
It's like, no, my dad said doing so. This
who runs the
living.
Company?
Oh.
Yeah, my dad owns
My dad owns Nintendo.
Yeah. No, it's you're right, and it's 1,000 times worse now. I don't know like how far back you worked on, but it's all committee. I mean, that's what pretty much destroyed Marvel. But if you go look at your average crap Star Trek episode that comes out, last one I reviewed, I counted 21 producers.
Oh my god.
21 Jesus fuck, producers. Dude.
So we have
one director, and 21 producers.
What the fuck are all these producers sitting around doing?
If they were doing coke, it would make sense. Like that would make sense. But it's just people glomming on.
They want their name attached.
They want their name attached to it.
If it's successful. So we shot an entire season of our show. I've showed like one episode of you.
Yeah.
Those. And then shit happened. We had to refilm season one. And then do the changes for it. And because the original season one that wasn't aired, fucking.
Season one would have worked.
Oh, it was so good. I was so pissed. I was like, it was one of the few. I hate watching my own shit. When I can watch it, I'm like, this is good.
Are you allowed to say the name?
Yeah, Brothers in Arms.
Brothers in Arms. So to my understanding of what happened, they took a show called Brothers in Arms and then decided that guns are too political. So we'll take out the arms of Brothers in Arms, but keep the name. So you'll just do random military shit.
He's not fucking joking. So
Could you do a military show without the guns? What the hell?
It was a gun show at first,
for
right?
History Channel. This is a gun show on the History Channel that pivoted because the Vegas shooting happened.
Yeah.
And then after that, they were like, we can't have a gun show. And you're like, what? So we watched all of it. I was like, yo, this is like an actual, I was fucking proud of it. I was like, holy shit. And they're like, we got bad news. We have to refilm it all. I'm like, what are we? A military restoration show now. I barely know how to build a gun. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to restore a tank now, and then we'll do the jokes around that, and then the guns will be like secondary. It's just Rocco and you, and it's your show. And I didn't watch the last three shows because they were so bad. My own TV show that was airing, I was like, I don't even care about my number. I'm going to just turn that TV off and walk away.
Mm. Do you see that happening in like Hollywood right now? There's just like too many fucking producers and...
Yes.
People just trying to turn it around because of the political spectrum or like the social spectrum.
Yes. They don't want to really fix anything. They've got Hollywood has gotten way too woke. They've recognized that now. But they were on like a bender for a good 4 years where they thought everything they were doing was right. But like with Marvel in particular, they started out like with Iron Man, there was no script. So they just kind of, but that's John Favreau. Uh-huh. You have Robert Downey Jr. ad-libbing. These are two like
he fought for Robert Downey Jr. because so he was.
I was just gonna bring that up. I'm sorry. Like earlier, I was just gonna bring that up because it's like the fucking it's the opposite of the death by producer thing because you have like basically any good fucking startup. You have somebody with a vision like John Favreau. You've got like a good like little like ragtag crew who pulls off a massive multi-$100 million movie out of fucking thin air, and then everybody comes along and ride the coattails and fucking ruins it.
Yeah, and they thought that kind of set the template of like how the Marvel method there's a Marvel method in comics and now there was one for movies where they can just like we can change shit at the end, doesn't matter, and it worked for a little while because they had a really cohesive unit. They had Joss Whedon there, Edgar Wright. These are people who were kind of guiding the way, who were like really knew what they were doing.
Talented directors,
talented actors, characters people gave a shit about. Then after Endgame,
Hollywood starts going crazy, and Kevin Feige comes out and says, we're going to put as many women as we are men in the MCU. It's like, why? Who even brought that up? Well,
nobody was talking about
it. Nobody was talking about it. It's he got embarrassed by Wonder Woman. Like, Wonder Woman did well. Like, the one DC movie that did well, he got embarrassed by it. So he's like, we're going to bring in Captain Marvel.
Like, I didn't mind Wonder Woman. It was all right. Like,
it was all right. Yeah. There's no reason to destroy the MCU, but that's what he did. He brought in Captain Marvel, who has never been popular in the comics. She was when she was Miss Marvel, but not as Captain Marvel. Go watch my videos on that. It kind of breaks it down. And yeah, he like half the characters became women, and that wasn't the issue. The issue was like what they did to the remaining legacy male characters. And nerds give a shit about this stuff. And by the way, they're the ones who pay for everything. So Kevin got rid of all the talent and went down this weird MCU highway, and they oversaturated with you know, Disney Plus coming out, which I call D Plus during COVID. Bob Iger, by the way, resigned from being a CEO right before COVID started. That was weird. Yep. That was like weird timing.
They got brought right the fuck back in.
Got right back in right when COVID was over. Really weird. How that happened.
Weird play.
Strange play there. Had a big scapegoat for all the stuff that they were trying, Bob Chapek. And like that. And that's, and it's overproduced content. Bob Iger even came out and blamed the director for Captain Marvel. This is a famous one. I've done a couple of it, maybe four videos on this. So Nia DaCosta was an inexperienced director they brought in for Captain Marvel. And, you know, Hollywood now casts directors. They don't hire them, so they can prance around. And go look, we got this woman of color directing. A woman of color.
This is awesome.
Has never directed a superhero movie on a Thursday in September. So that's what they keep doing.
In directing, directing is the hardest fucking thing you can do. It is not something easy, or you can just toss somebody in. Mm-hmm. People do not understand.
You're wrangling fucking cats.
You're wrangling cats, and you are trying to get your vision, and you have to tell people to shut the fuck up. It's why Tarantino's like, what's on the fucking script? Read the fucking script. Or your different directors and how they cover down. If you break that, or you're just hiring people based off of not talent, but just whatever else, you are going to have a piece of shit at the end. Because they're not going to get the best action. They're going to change or cave to... Oh, who was it? There was one person that filmed something, and it was a short with a lot of money behind it. And I remember the actor was like, yeah, they let us change the script as we see it. I was like, that is going to fucking bomb. They're like, well, why? I was like, you just told me your director caved to you. I was like, as a director, I would have told you to fuck off. You're not changing my script or my vision. Fuck off. They're like, uh-oh. And it came out and fucking bombed because of that. Because a director's position is, it's like Lord of the Rings. Peter Jackson did how many years of previs going into that?
It started in 97, I want to say.
Jeez. Would it come out in like 01?
It came out in 2001. Yeah. So I want to say like they really started the process in 97. Yeah. That was a lot of time.
A lot. And then you have what you're talking about, which is
So Nia DaCosta comes in. And this is just the latest example, by the way. Marvel had been doing this pretty much since Endgame. They're bringing in inexperienced, controllable directors so these films can be produced now and not directed. And they can parade people out going, look, we got the first Asian person directing a superhero movie. It's all formulaic. And
I haven't given a shit about anything since fucking Iron Man died. Yeah, right? I don't fucking care.
Neither has anybody else. So the Marvels
flops. I feel like they kind of knew that. Like, they kind of built everything up to it, and then it just kind of... And then they blame COVID for all the failures.
If they would have just let it breathe.
They blame the fans, too.
Yeah. And if they would have let it breathe, Endgame would have happened, you took an actual break. Push off to another one, and then really okay, what is the next step into this world? You would have had hyper success. Instead of like, we need new Captain America, we need the She-Hulk, and you're like, whoa, hold the fuck on. Let's reel back. No? Okay, no reeling back. Okay, go on.
Well, no, you don't kill Iron Man or Cap. That was stupid. Like, you recast him. It's dumb. It's just like, why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, they kind of, I guess they kind of did recast Captain America, but they did it in a really odd way.
They gave it to Sam Wilson, the Falcon, who... Yeah. If you follow the Winter Soldier storyline, it's supposed to go to Bucky. The shield was supposed to go to Bucky.
It should have gone to Bucky.
It's part of his redemption arc.
Exactly. Like, yeah. I don't. It's not like, oh, Falcon's black, blah blah blah. It's
but
like,
they still
no,
brought
just
Steve
not...
Rogers back later in the comics. So like really? An old, yeah. They like he was old for a while, and then you know they brought him back because they have to. It's Steve Rogers is Captain America. That's, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You just recast him like Bond. You do that. But so back to Nia DaCosta. She ends up leaving the project early. And then Bob Iger throws it under the bus on a big New York Times thing and says, well, our director didn't have enough supervision from executives. So basically you said your female of color director didn't have enough adult supervision.
And this was for the Marvels?
This was for the Marvels.
Yeah.
And to come out there and say that publicly and roll the bus over is like horrible. I mean, she did a terrible job and she blamed fans, so I don't really care. I don't have a dog in this fight. I just got my popcorn out and it's like,
you're like, wow, you just hit that pedestrian. They were a piece of shit, but like, yeah, you know, hey, you still hit them.
Still this hit team him. Is cannibalizing itself. Yes. What the fuck?
So it's all falling apart now. And then, you know, a bunch of us have been saying this since Endgame. We're like, if you go this Captain Marvel route, it's going to be very bad for you because you did the same crap in the comic books that we read, and the American comic book industry is dead. The superhero is dead. Like, every kid's reading manga now. Every kid's watching anime. They're playing video games. They're not, you know, reading Captain America or Spider-Man or any of that.
Well, I feel like the nerds went fucking woke. Like, everybody right now that's, like, in the fucking comic book space that, like, cares about
the creative space, yes.
Yeah, the creative space. Like, it's all a bunch of fucking either 90 pounds or 290-pound fucking nerds.
490 pounds.
That, like, that are all just, like, virtue signaling to people that they think they can fuck.
And work girlfriends, bringing in work girlfriends, and as my good friend Jeremy from Geeks and Gamers says, those who preach the most have the most to hide. Usually it's because they're a bunch of freaks, and they have a lot of...
check that man's internet history.
Yes.
Yeah, that goes back to fucking us talking about Twitch earlier, like, you know, yeah. Like me getting banned for saying one word. What's it's like that's what all the mods are on Twitch, from what I've seen.
Twitch is
ban me if you want. I don't stream anymore. Fuck you.
What is that down? It, you get to see how it. I love the nerd culture. How it was and how it is as a core. It's just the loud vocal ones now. I don't truly believe they are nerds.
Well,
they,
there's a difference too. It's like I love nerds. I hate nerd culture. Right.
I even love nerd culture. What it's the become new nerd now? Culture.
Yeah. I mean, if you want like the new nerd culture, I wouldn't want any part of this garbage they're trying to call nerd. So we're trying to preserve the old one. There's a great documentary out there. I'm going to plug my friend if you don't
do
mind.
It.
Chris Gore used to be on a show called Attack of the Show, G4.
Oh my God.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So we all know that. God damn.
I remember. We all know that. G4 TV? Holy fuck.
Yeah. So he did a documentary of that era and kind of the end of it called Attack of the Dock. It is on YouTube. You can watch it for free with commercials. It's the best documentary I've seen in 10 years. It's
new
about.
New tab. Don't click away.
It's about new tab. And it's a love letter to the nerd culture that basically died a few years ago. And hopefully it comes back. That's what we're trying to preserve because it was fun. It used to be fun. We didn't care what your politics were.
No,
we didn't
give a crap. Shit.
We just cared about Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
And Webb.
There's Morgan, a lot of Olivia Morgan Munn Webb. In that, by
Morgan
the way.
Morgan Webb.
Webb. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That's an OG. That was the before
G4. That is a
G4.
Name I have not heard in a long time.
In a long time.
The only girl I've waited in line to get an autograph. That really? Was like me before anything. I was like, I'm going to wait at my first PAX. And I was like, I was dressed as Solid Snake at that. And she's like,
of course you were.
I like this outfit. She's like, I was like, thank you. Sign that. Cool. Walk away.
How old were you?
I was unfortunately still like 26 or 7 at that point.
Somewhat forgivable.
Somewhat forgivable. Yeah. I watched her since I was like 12. Yeah, I was like, hey, yeah. This person.
The Attack of the Show was great. That was the peak time for nerd culture was up until about 2013 and 14.
God, that's how I would track, like, pay attention to video games that I couldn't afford back then. I was like, man, I can't play the game, but I'll watch the shit out of somebody talk about whether or not it's good.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, this is dope. Fuck. Man, it sucks that the nerd culture is where it's no different than the gaming culture. You had that mass flood of mobile games. Everyone was in a quote unquote gamer or just very basic and like, I'm a gamer. Same for anime right
I
now.
I play which, Fortnite.
And I'm not a gatekeeper. I want people to consume this media. It is just understand the culture behind
Yeah, that's that. Nerds are very welcoming people. They will share, as a matter of fact, overshare everything with you that they love.
Okay. It's called autism.
It is. So if you
ask about their favorite train, you're fucked.
You're screwed. Oh, you're on a live stream and you say the word anime, you will get 90 minutes of anime recommendations, which is awesome. That's the way it's supposed to be. But the activist culture that has come in, which is basically a bunch of dudes and women who
activist
took women's study.
The best way to oh, holy shit. I never thought about that. That is now how I will describe that.
That's what games media, I call them access media. So the gaming media, entertainment media has all become activism. So, and they frame everything, every review, every article on, like, say you're writing a story about American history. Well, how does it relate to now? Like how, you know, are you exposing the colonizers or some crap like that instead of like showing something for what it is?
Like, I just want to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Like,
I just want to tell you a story, but, that's where DEI comes in. DEI has kind of effed up everything over the last 10 years. They were very open about it a few years ago. They're not so, they're kind of trying to hide their internet history now. And we've had the BlackRock founder come out in 2017 saying we want to force behaviors and we're going to do it through corporate culture, which in turn turns into Hollywood. We have the new Oscar rules.
DIY.
Diversity, D-I. Equity, and inclusion.
Oh, this is actually that rating program that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Sweet Baby Inc.
It's why fucking going, doors fall off of airplanes now.
Watch this, Cody. Do you know what this is?
No, I know exactly what.
Okay,
it is.
Yeah. For the viewers out there, because I just learned this like as of a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I was like, this makes so much more sense because we have experienced different sides of this, but seeing how it's affecting everything and then hearing about it and then reading and doing research, I was like, oh, this is a fucking thing. Holy shit!
And it's been a thing, and it's been creeping into every institution in America. I mean, I just cover nerd and pop culture, so like it's silly stuff, but like
culture affect business. We've seen it.
Culture really isn't silly. Politics is downstream from culture, as Andrew Breitbart said, right?
Yeah.
So it affects your kids who are watching TikTok, who are playing these games, who are reading these comic books, who are watching these movies. It affects adults. It affects everyone. And again, I just keep it in the entertainment space. But when it gets serious is when it gets into our schools, which it's already infiltrated and destroyed. And it gets into things like flying planes. And now, you know, we make the joke, but that's what DEI does. It doesn't bring equity. It makes people question that now. It makes you, are you a diversity hire or did you get here on merit? Now we don't know. And that's effed up for everybody. That's up. And like just in the last 24 hours, you know, I still live in San Francisco, SFO. Plane was flying. I don't know if this happened in a day or the last couple of days, but a tire fell off a plane.
Yes, all that.
Crushed all those cars. Yeah, the United flight crushed a bunch of cars in the parking lot. And then in Houston yesterday, plane, you know, the landing gear collapses. I mean, I'm sure this has all just been a giant coincidence. Right when DEI is being forced in by BlackRock. And that they're just one of them.
Yeah.
And BlackRock is an investor firm. I don't know. I'm not a financial analyst, but they have a lot of influence. More
control that they can.
They have more influence control than the president.
They control quite. So, like, yes. I will say this: like, there's a bit of a media thing. Like, anytime something gets popularized and like people know that people are clicking on certain things, mm-hmm. just like you have like the Myrtle Beach shark attacks, right?
Yep.
You know, it could be a year where it's like this is totally statistically average. Yep. This happens all the time. Nobody just talks about it. But they hear like, you know, oh, shark attacks, record shark attacks. Everybody does articles on it, even though it's like statistically insignificant or it's not an anomaly. How about that?
Yeah, it's just
like, you know, and maybe the shit's been happening all the time with planes and things like that. Yeah, but
we're
now,
just finding out.
Now it's just kind of like now it's in the news and things like that. But at the same time, you're 100% correct. Like organizations like BlackRock have a shitload of political influence. They have a shitload of influence over just culture in general because they own controlling interests or interests in general in so many fucking aspects of our life. I feel like I'm on fucking Fox right now.
Well, it's
are you doing your political thing right now?
I might well, be. I really just, don't
it's
like
a,
it.
It's a really easy, it's an easy Google search to see how much stock BlackRock owns in Disney, Warner Brothers, Amazon, Netflix. Just go look. It's damn near the majority in
everyone. Also on Open Secrets and different, you know, places like that, you can see how much BlackRock has invested in politicians. Like, for example, Tony Gonzalez. It's very weird. You can look this all up on Google. It's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
It's just an easy Google search.
Ding. And it, oh, man. I fucking
new tab, though.
This, but this, yeah, new tab. That's a shirt. Just new tab. It is the level of influence that people do not. It sounds like crazy thought, especially for your general audience. It's like, nah, they're just over exaggerating. No,
yeah. This I mean, is, like mainstream media will call us just because you're talking about it right now. They're going to call us conspiracy theorists.
Of course.
How dare you follow the money?
I thought it was crazy too.
But
at least, you know, when I was, when the channel was just starting up and it was like 100 people watching, I'm like, oh, let's get crazy. Let's talk about it. Let's see what happens. You know,
let's go down this
rabbit hole. It'll probably be nothing.
Let's light this candle.
Yeah.
There's so many times. It's just like, well, like the MLK assassination thing. Like so many times I'll just enter into it, like joking around like that, like, fuck it. Let's look into it. Yeah. Let's research this a little bit. Cause you know, okay, it's a little silly conspiracy theory.
Kooky.
Then you look into it like an hour later, you're like, the FBI killed MLK. Yeah. Fuck me. All right.
And they do diversity hires isn't based off of merit, which kills me because I truly believe I don't give a shit about anything like race, creed, religion. Yep. I want the best possible for the job. But these individuals would go and be like, no, you cannot hire that individual because they're race, color, religion. You have to hire the other individual. And you're like,
which is illegal.
Well, and it's back to MLK. It's the whole like, you know, I have a dream of what? Not, you know. You know, my race above the others. I have a dream of a day where you have, you know, people judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. It's like, that's the fucking opposite. We want meritocracy. We want the people who are the best at the job to be the ones who have the job. That's it. I don't care. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what you believe. It's like, are you good at the job? Cool. You have it.
Yeah. Are you a good pilot?
Yeah.
That's kind of important.
It's kind of a good thing if you're flying a fucking plane.
Unsub's a fucking great example. Show fucking female Irish owns part of the company. Why? Because she is one of the
Irish.
You haven't heard her speak yet? Oh, she's from Ireland. Oh, she has like
actual Irish.
Yeah, actual.
Worse. No, I'm just kidding.
Can we get a lucky?
Car's gonna explode.
Can we get a lucky charms real quick?
No.
Show, come on, give us a lucky charms.
One lucky charm. Just one lucky charm.
Hey,
that was close enough. Yeah, we love
that'll work.
Cheers.
But she is one of the like hardest working individuals and hyper talented. Same for like anyone that's sitting at this table. They are based off of their like they all have their own individual strengths.
I love how you wanted to go for diversity, so you went for the very white Irish woman.
I know. I was like, white Irish woman. Mexican congressman, soon to be.
Hey, I hired
white Cody.
Yeah, sorry.
Two Asians because I'm terrible at math. So yeah, that's exactly why I hired him. They're actually really good at math.
See, my people thank you for that. Yeah, they fucking the one thing. What is it called, Brandon? The
excuse me.
What?
Where they do math. The Asian people in the comments like dumbass.
Oh,
it's called this right now.
I know what you're talking about now. The sliders or the fucking... I know what you're talking about.
The abacus?
Abacus, yeah. I thought you were talking about a zipper at first. You're like, get. I'm like,
I heard KKK and I heard something else, but that's just me.
That's me.
That's lips right now.
don't appropriate their culture.
I'll try not to.
The abacus.
Yeah.
I love your workers. You're like, and they're amazing humans. And they're so focused on the creation of firearms and like refining it. Like, I see why you hired them. Same for Code. Like, all of us are just based off of work, merit, crushing your job.
Yeah, they're especially when you talk about, you start talking about kids that are like kind of autistic in certain ways. It's like, yeah, but like they are hyper focused on making sure they can make the best product they can. Like, where everybody else would call it good. Right. Everybody else would just be like, it's good enough. Like, they're like, no, it has to be fucking perfect.
Yep.
There's a place for that. Like, those are the kind of people that you want checking you.
That's
making
a actually gun. Brilliant because, I mean, that's changed a lot in the last 10 years, too. So I have a kid who's on the spectrum. And at the
buddy,
time,
high five. Sam.
There you go. And, you know, as a parent, it was scary at first. You're like, oh, my God, you know, my poor kid's not going to be able to live a normal life. But then, you know. I settled into it. and we find him a good school that's not public.
ABA.
And
Jesus Christ.
And got him out of the public school. Again, not a Christian. Got him into a nice Christian school. And he advanced more in 2 years than he did his entire time. And
they learn different.
Absolutely. He's ready to go get a job. He's ready to drive. It's just where you put that focus. Like you said, where you put that focus. Because they have amazing skills. It's just different. You know, and maybe it's just a label of something that's always been around. I probably would have been labeled that when I was a kid, too. You know, I was called hyperactive, and they tried to put me on that. Like, it wasn't Adderall. What was it? Because I'm old. Ritalin. Ritalin. Yeah, that really helped.
They're like,
you become a drug addict. Like,
we don't really beat.
Yeah, it's like beat.
Yeah, like, wow, we don't know what to do with you. Have some amphetamines.
Yeah. Like, that'll calm you down. It has a reverse effect.
You still had spankings in school. Holy shit.
No, dude. I'm old.
We had paddles.
Paddles. Yeah, the principal paddle.
By the time I had gotten into school, it was like barely phased out. And you had teachers literally telling you, they're like, if this was a couple years ago, I'd beat your fucking ass right now.
Well, bro, you gotta remember, I'm fucking 10 years older than you. Eli is a couple years older than I am. Shit. And then fucking Gary.
I went to school in a cave.
Yeah, they killed people.
We killed people. We actually killed people.
The teachers,
line.
The students with stone kids. Yes. It's the
did our math on the cave wall.
The annual stoning of the worst.
Yes. we invented dodgeball. Okay.
The original, the opposite of the valedictorian.
Yes.
What's your kid's superpower? Like, if he's on the spectrum, he has something he fucking gravitates
towards. In the words of Administrative Results, the prior guest in this show is, you know, it's my autism. I get to choose the special interest.
Yes. No, his memory for anything, like his memory for anything he's interested in. So like a story, like his comic book knowledge is starting to, like, he's going to be dad pretty soon.
Because Eli's son does buildings. He knows the height every building.
Oh, yeah.
In the world.
And like to the
travels.
Foot.
Yeah, to the feet, traveling distance of flying, how much time it takes, driving, how much time it takes. And riding's like, okay, daddy. Right.
And time stamps on soundtracks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Because now he knows how to comment on YouTube videos. Some people will upload. He will go on and request them to upload a video that is no longer on their channel. So they will upload one that they just like made and then put up. He's like, this is not the same video. The timestamp is 19 minutes and 23 seconds. It is 22 minutes and 40 seconds. Also, these soundtracks have changed. The original had X, Y, and Z. And he puts that in the comments like, my son's the asshole on this comment section.
You're giving some random fucking 200 subscriber YouTuber a fucking migraine.
And he's like, what did I do? God. You know, you can't hear the context. It's like, what the fuck? No, owning a comic shop in San Francisco, I was trained for that.
Weird.
Lots of autism in comic books, okay? Not a big secret.
A lot of
standing. Yeah. And honestly, it prepared me for it. And it's patience. That's all it is. It's patience. And there really were like a lot of good kids. They were going to San Francisco State. Yeah, they're amazing.
And it was fun. Humans.
Yeah. Yeah,
they don't have emotion.
No, they ask a lot of questions. They ask a lot of questions about one subject for an hour, and you just got to learn how to roll with it.
Without looking at you. Why did Batman do that?
Yeah. And you got to explain it, and then they'll ask the same question the next day.
Yeah, a quick glance.
It's okay, you know. My son, at least he's aware now. Like, I asked you that question 5 days ago. I'm sorry, Dad. Sorry, I'll answer it again. It's all good.
How old's your son?
He's 18 now.
Okay.
So nice. Fuck yeah. And he's super into comics and
it depends, you know, I don't know much about other than like what my son has gone through, but he was not talking, not making eye contact. And when he got the right teacher and the right education, which was basically damn near one-on-one, like really small classroom full of autistic kids, and it brought him out.
Lots of headphones,
it brought him out, and like, yeah, he doesn't get freaked out by loud noises anymore. It was incredible.
It's awesome.
And like
no
drugs at all. And it was awesome watching that. And hopefully, you know, the education system privately has gotten much better. It can be expensive, But if you look for the right, like, Christian program, you know.
Yeah, I mean, even if you're not a religious person, it's a historic thing that's always kind of been the case, is that religious institutions like the church will take up the slack where the government fucking sucks.
Yep.
And they do it all the fucking time. And, like, especially when it comes to education, like, I wouldn't trust the government to build a fucking website, let alone like, fucking educate my children.
Actually, we've discussed, like, even amongst the guys, figuring out a method so we can do a charity or something where we can start raising money to put certain kids just through private school. Because we all believe in, like, hey, how do we help the next wave of individuals? And that's one where we all fucking, like, our kiddos are amazing. They're wonderful humans. But to see them hyper successful, you have to do that. And then we want to give that opportunity for others that might not have that and be like, hey, we got you covered.
Like, the bare minimum, like private school, Christian school, stuff like that. I mean, ideally homeschool with like a good curriculum and stuff like that. Because, man, one of the best things I ever did was like last couple years of my schooling was homeschooled. I learned how to fucking run a business. I learned how to do finance. Like, I learned how to do the stuff that actually helped me in the
real
world.
You learned how taxes work?
Yeah, it's crazy. That's, you know, so I can't recite the Pythagorean theorem, but I know how to not go to fucking prison. There you go. Build a business. You know, that's cool.
It's like, this so is crazy. kind of important. Now we're in that next wave. I'm like, oh, God damn it. But it's awesome to see, like, parents like you, where you're like, hey, my kiddo matters. I'm going to find out how to make that work. And then, especially with autism, because it is hyper, how do you say it? It is it's extremely important to get them in ABA or a private program where they get to thrive.
Earlier the better. It's never too late, though. Don't freak out as a parent, because I did. I went through that whole freak out process. But
when did you find out your son was autistic?
Pretty early on, like pretty much right after he was born. He was doing the staring at the ceiling fan thing. We had a ceiling fan,
And then he lined stuff up, all his toys.
This is before he was lining anything up. He didn't cry very much, and he stared at the ceiling fan. And I'm like, you fucking crazy. He's fine. And they're like, go check it out. So we checked it out, and
Father, have you seen my line of cause? And you're like, huh, that's weird. Ryden was Ryden. It was like he wouldn't talk much, and then you pointed. He's like, it's an isosceles triangle. And you're like, well, Daddy's not that smart, because I didn't know. But no. It's like, why did you know?
Your trains are really cool, but
Dad turns around, looks at that GED on the wall, like,
I'm proud of you.
College is about to be expensive.
He's got into creative. Like, his art is really off the charts, pretty good. And he would write entire comic books and line up his toys, steal all of my toys, which was fine.
That's kind of funny, have a dad into toys. I didn't think about that.
He would just come in and take stuff off my walls.
And just take it out of the packaging so he could play with it. You know, all
your backgrounds on your videos is just all fucking action figures and stuff.
Yeah, holy shit. You have thank you, Cody. That the fucking, how much you have unopened figures, I'm assuming? You're a collector, right?
I'm a collector, but I've gotten past the unopened thing because of space. I have some stuff, like the really, really expensive stuff is still in the package, but I graduated this thing called Hot Toys. So for action figures, it's like the adult action figure. It's a 1/6 scale, full detailed. You can take them out and put them back in the box. That's the good thing about them. So you can put them back. I keep all the boxes. My attic is filled with them. So if you see my background, that's one of 9 walls. It's a really weird shaped room.
Holy shit.
It's got a little hallway in it. It's got a bathroom. Damn.
Wait, no, for reference, how many on that one wall? How many figures on one wall?
300. What you're seeing. What you're seeing is 300. But it's thousands. It's thousands.
That's what I'm saying. Shit. And that's why I was like, hold on. You said 9 walls. I'm like, one wall, how many? You're like, 300.
So I remember, I know that name because I remember like thinking when I was, you know, a kid, like a, you know, preteen or whatever, like, oh yeah, I see him in like the comic books or whatever the fuck, like, oh, I'd love to have one of those. They're like $100. That's impossible. And like, this is something me and you come back to every now and again. It's like, man, I forget. We're fucking grown up. We're successful. You know, we have grown ass man money. Like, I can go back and buy fucking anything I wanted as a kid.
That's the nostalgia rule, and that's what a lot of us did. It was just, I didn't get everything. Oh, my God, my dad was cheap as hell. So I got, like, a few things that I had to earn. Most of the stuff I bought myself on my paper route. But
That's cool, man. That's a that's a neat thing.
Action figures are like art to me. So like the room is evolved, but it basically came from my comic store. That's how my comic store looked. So I wanted to look like my comic store. And a lot of it is just from my comic store.
You ever thought about reopening a comic store?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Are you going to do it?
Probably. Yes. Nice. I want to buy the building. No landlords.
Yeah.
That's my thing. But I think my kid would be great.
Especially nowadays. Like you could rock that shit. If you had your own comic store here.
Yeah. There's a couple space. We're looking for spaces.
There you go, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we would push the shit out of that.
Hell yeah. Thanks.
You get some.
Oh, by the way, you got to vote for this guy. So,
oh God,
he's got my vote.
That's still a thing.
Yeah,
I didn't lose.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, sorry, was that not supposed to say? No. Well, I mean, it's pretty public. It's on.
Yeah,
fucking
okay, good.
I was on the front page of Internet Explorer day before yesterday.
Yes, you were. You were all over the place. I was.
Yeah.
No offense, I was surprised. Yeah, I was like, oh shit, he got a runoff. That's awesome.
I think it was the only federal. It was the only federal level runoff in the state of Texas on Super Tuesday.
And it was an awesome experience. I also thank you for putting that all together. Like you just at the bar.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, we did. So for people who don't know, we did like a private watch party. I didn't want to do, the media wanted to do like, oh, well, like, let us know your watch party is. I'm like, no, this is going to be for me and my friends. This has been an exciting journey. I just want to do it for like my immediate family, my friends, why my family's in town. And it was an incredible night and I did not drive home. Jesus Christ, that was just a really fun celebration. It was cool.
Your opponent, though, there was a watch party for your opponent.
Yeah,
he just didn't. Oh. There's something happened.
What happened?
Did you not know about that?
Oh, I know. Oh,
okay, he had a watch party, and it became very clear as soon as early voting because early voting favors the incumbent.
Yep.
First numbers we saw, he was at like 50.1.
Not a good sign.
And he didn't show up to his watch party.
Oh, no.
So all of his staffers, all the people who volunteered for him that just were block walking, were standing out in the sun, because I was standing across from them. I was out in the heat, like during election day. We both were, actually. Mm-hmm. We were standing out there, like, across from the Gonzalez team and everything. And they were out. They went to a watch party, and he didn't show up. He bailed on him.
He just wasn't there.
He'll take your volunteers though.
You know, if you need work, I would be happy to. I would appreciate your work.
Imagine being a leader that even during the L's you stand with your team. I don't know.
That's
why you'd ever do that as a leader. Superheroes would be really cool if that. Like every time the going gets tough, they're like, fuck this.
Later.
But they just peace out from
it. But for the unsubscribe audience, I just realized we totally bulldozed over this. I won the election, more or less. We accomplished our fucking goal.
Well done.
We took the incumbent Republican, the shitty Republican, to a runoff. And so we are now in a one-on-one election that is decided on May 28th. And it's now all the other candidates are gone. It was five people in the race. Now it's just me and Tony.
Yeah.
And so now he has to go into a special election that he was not prepared.
You have some backing too. It's weird. It's like people like you, Brandon, and you're a good human that stands behind it. Also, most importantly, and what I always preach, you don't want the fucking job. You're doing it because you're like, hey, and that's how it should be across the board. Like, whatever your political views, you see, we don't shit on it. Like we don't give a shit. Be you, be a human, have fun. But when you're a politician, Brandon's doing it right. This isn't a fucking career for him. This isn't a career for you. You're like, I don't want this, but I need these changes to happen. Then I'm going to peace the fuck out.
I'm not happy with the way my congressman's representing me, and I feel like I can do something about it. And clearly we can. Because like the politicians vote the way that they do because they don't feel like anybody can call them to the carpet. They feel like they will have their job no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just very publicly proved on, you know, half the news stations across the country today or on Tuesday that's not the case.
And that's how you make a change. Call you. Like, especially for like veterans out there, Leo, anything. This is how changes happen.
Wait, what did you say about veterans?
Ooh. I know. Oh, this boy. Dude hates them, and he's going to make it a veterans, better spot.
Brandon Herrera is he's buying a gun for every veteran.
Look, and that's the funny shit, too, because, like, and we've talked about this a million times on the podcast, but it's like you attack me in the one place that, like, how much veteran charity work have we done? And you attack me on an out of context thing about at a fucking veterans prevention panel that we were speaking at earlier. It's like, really?
$500,000 we've raised in veteran charities.
to like.
Yeah, welcome to the fucking Thunderdome.
Yeah, dude. It's like, hold on, how much money has Tony raised for veteran causes? That's really strange.
Not $500,000. And then like, Brandon supports all your homies are fucking like. This is the main message of the podcast. We had a fucking a veteran come up today, or still active duty.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, appreciate you. You have my vote. Like, I love what you're doing. And that is because you actually give a shit. And then your main thing, it's like one of your things is like, hey, the VA.
Yes, like, it's fucking broken. Like, this is, I don't want to go in the soapbox too much, but it's like, dude, like, out of all the things that have failed veterans, like the military's failed veterans, the VA, fucking politicians, everything, it's like, this is one of the few things it hasn't. It's like us and like
weird we shoot like ourselves.
Dark humor and camaraderie are the only thing. Fuck off.
Every veteran in America will get a gun.
I can't make these jokes now. Apparently, it'll end up in a fucking mailer because you know people are just like, "Did you know Brandon Herrera has like a fuck you, dude?"
Also, a huge hat, which is still my favorite meme I've ever seen. This is Brandon with a huge cowboy.
And my favorite. Oh, we haven't talked about this either. There was a mailer. You could put it up, G-Van. You could put up the mailer.
Oh, they said that
I am hiding $400,000 from my fucking financial disclosures. Do you know how they found that out? Huh. Or how they found it out. Do you know what they're basing that off of?
What?
Social Blade.
No.
Dead fucking serious.
Holy shit.
No. Oh my God.
Yep.
Freaking boomers.
It's fucking
insane.
They went
off Social Blade. Yeah, guys, if you Google any of us, they're going to give you a rough estimate of our net worth and all that stuff. They're never wrong or ever right. Like,
piece of shit.
My dad, according to the internet, is a veteran. He's not.
According to the internet, I'm a veteran. I found out there's a Brandon Herrera who was in Navy, like, basically a janitor. I don't really know what, like, the official.
Boatswain's mate, probably.
Yeah, like, just because there's a Brandon Herrera that, shares my name, I think he's. And, you know, somewhere in the Northeast, but.
And then the For You page, Sav's For You page now has Medal of Honor recipient Brandon Herrera.
Are you fucking serious?
Dude, her For You page just started popping up and she's like, Eli, what the fuck is she? I was like, screenshot that and put it in the group message.
Jesus Christ.
We started as one joke and now Brandon is like the super soldier. He is Captain America.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't want it. Exactly why this is for you.
It's a purple heart. Internet culture, this is where it starts taking over. When we start getting more YouTubers in office. Well,
I want to be careful about that, but that's actually one part that I was like, man, I don't know if I want to start this wave.
culture is only as healthy as its comedy, and our comedy is like I just watched the damn movie and it wasn't really that good, but Anyone But You is the first comedy to make over $200 million at the box office.
Wait, what is it?
Since Bridesmaids.
Anyone but you.
It's Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, well,
that's why everybody watched it. But honestly, wasn't that great?
Give me two
movie.
Reasons why anybody would watch that movie.
Sydney Sweeney.
No, I wasn't her the two assets. Reasons I was thinking. Yeah. All right, Gary.
I want to tell you when comedy died. Fucking Hangover.
Yeah. Hangover. That's pretty much it. Yeah. It's like Bridesmaids was like, after that, but that was the last like super big comedy hit. And
Paging
and
Who?
Anyone But You was the
Paging Who?
But Dr. Faggett.
Paging Dr.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hangover's one of the best comedies ever made. Director's cut's even better.
Tropic Thunder and that.
By the way, Todd Phillips directed the same guy who directed Joker directed Hangover. So yep. And no old shit. School. Yeah, Todd Phillips.
He also directed War Dogs.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
It's one of those a very good fucking movie.
Dude, when you have good directors, usually they might have some one-offs. Your director did Sicario. Dune 2, I forget his name, sorry. Dune 2's director also did Sicario.
Yes, he did.
Shit.
Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, he did. He has some bangers. He has some like softer ones, but he has also bangers. But Dune 2, same dude that did Sicario.
But
that
makes sense because the Blade Runner 2049, which sucked. So. I will say that.
Well, the Dune color correction was the same as Sicario Mexico, so that makes sense.
Oh, yeah very yellow.
Sicario was good.
Yeah. Sorry, Gary, I interrupted the fuck out of you, man.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So, like, comedy is and there's still great stand-up comedy out there. There's still, like, really, you know, Shane Gillis, Kurt Metzger, Christy Mayer. Got to plug my co-host on Friday Night Tight. She's awesome. 8 months pregnant. Gets pepper sprayed. At a show because Well, her album is live from January 6th. So she's a little edgy. Yeah, she's awesome, though. She's great. And
wait, she got pepper sprayed at a ship?
Yeah, recently. She's 8 months pregnant, too.
What the fuck? Okay, so I thought it was just a title behind. Okay. Go. What?
Chrissy Mayer, my co-host for Friday Night Tights, who's a stand-up comedian, pretty damn based young lady, is 8 months pregnant, just got married. And yeah, she goes a little hard. She's gone viral a few times. Like Malaysia wanted to completely, the entire country of Malaysia wanted to.
We'd get along.
You would very, she made some, I forgot even what the joke was. It was about the airline. I think about the missing plane, about like,
you would want something wrong, something wrong. Holy fuck. We too low. That played on actual news.
Somebody, she was doing a fan signing after the show, a show in Jersey, and somebody threw in, one of those smoke bombs that's pepper spray, which is not good for a pregnant woman. And it's only because of her political views.
Yeah.
She won't get any gigs. Kurt Metzger, he's on, I'm blanking on that. Guy used to be on Young Turks. He has a podcast. Not Cenk. Not the horse lover. the one who's cool now.
Hassan Piker.
No, Hassan Piker. He's... Hassan,
I want to come to kill you
in the ring, right?
In your house.
No,
at your house in Los Angeles.
At your house.
I love. For anyone wondering, this is the first day we met this dude.
I know. This guy gets along with us so fucking well.
It's gonna look like we're lifelong friends.
I'm on the internet too much. I want to say it's the Jimmy Dore show. Kurt Metzger's on that. Kurt Metzger's awesome. There's a lot of great comedians out there, but they're not getting gigs in. What they would normally get is a sitcom or something. I mean, it's a different world now, but there's no comedies. There's no raunchy comedies. There should be a Blazing Saddles about woke culture. Like, we need that. We'll know we're healing when that happens.
A black what?
A Blazing Saddles about woke culture.
A black what?
Okay.
The sheriff's gotcha. What?
The sheriff is near.
The sheriff's near, yeah.
I will say one comedy that, who was... Fuck, now I can't even remember the actress's name. She was in Hunger Games.
Good story.
Well, it's like,
no, I know what you're talking about.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. I did watch that movie.
First woman who's ever been in an action film, by the way. You do know that, right?
Oh, apparently, yes.
Yeah, no, did you ever see that interview?
No. The first female protagonist.
The first female action star ever was Jennifer Lawrence. And that launched the meme. Yeah. And that launched the meme, like, that, you know, Jennifer Lawrence was Jesus. Jennifer Lawrence was everything.
Because her new comedy... I forget what it's called.
The one where she's butt naked on the beach?
Yeah.
She signed up to do that fucking thing. She read it and she was like, that's hilarious. And her entire team was like, no.
I mean, her butthole's already been on the internet. It's...
Yeah.
But her team still was like, no. So that scene caught me so off guard because it hides everything up until the reveal. And she just comes out and beats the shit out of those dudes naked. And you're like, oh, that's her bush. Oh, this is body double, right? You Google and you're like... Nope, Jennifer Lawrence.
No shit.
Up to, yeah, dude, she's
how bad things are.
Just Friends.
He's shocked.
Just Friends, is that the name?
Yeah, Just Friends.
Yeah. That actually was pretty fucking funny.
But
shocked at seeing like somebody, but like I'm old.
I didn't even care.
Remember PG-13 boobs? Remember PG boobs?
Oh yeah, PG.
Okay, PG boobs. There'd be boobs in PG movies. We've regressed.
Well, that was like before like the 1980s.
Airplane had boobs. That was 1980.
That was like 1970.
1980.
Was it
1980? Because I think the first autism.
I think the and I'll tell you why my autism kicks in here. I feel like the first ever PG-13 movie was Red Dawn, 1984.
It might have been, and it was one movie. Some people like to say it might be two. I'll give you that because there's a guy, one of my friends always argues with me. But Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom created the PG-13 movie.
Because they
ripped out the heart. There's also an argument that Gremlins might have done it, but it was Indiana Jones.
Yeah, Indiana Jones was, God, I can't, man, I could. There's what I love about these episodes, because you are the outlier in our usual role of like military, veteran humor. And YouTube guests, you check that one up. But the level of nerd and how much...
We haven't done this in a while.
I know, and I'm fucking so happy because it is. Like, I can bring up the two new Indiana Jones movies. I don't know, you're going to fucking shit on them because you...
Did you see the new one?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Terrible. I didn't. You are in the same boat where we're like, fuck, it's the gaming community. What's nice is video games, anime, or the like Marvel comic book, it is all the same where we see this absolute shit that gets rolled out and you're like, how the fuck, how is this so fucking hard to do this right? You, if you followed the script, all you have to do is follow the source material and you will have hyper success. Why do you deviate from that fucking
source?
This
is where it gets back to DEI. So we'll explain it through Indiana Jones and the diaper of destiny. So
what is it? A fucking Critical Drinker said is like the dial tone of destiny.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a different title. He had a different title to everything, which was really good. Really good. So in my video, I the plot synopsis is this. And I'm not kidding or over exaggerating. Indiana Jones teams up with an insufferable feminist to save Hitler. That's what the movie's about.
Hold on, what?
That's what the movie's about.
Go on. Now bring it back.
I haven't fucking seen it.
If you go on the core plot, Indiana Jones is with an insufferable feminist saving Hitler. That's what they do.
All right, well, maybe let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater. What's this movie about?
So where DEI comes in, it's a writing.
Oh, I'm happy, boys. I'm scratching that itch.
You guys really need to talk to my co-host, Ryan Kennel, because like he's the most racist person I know, and you fit in so well here.
Ow.
He fit in so well.
You're racist. His last name is Herrera. Come on. You're fine.
I've got some air cover. It's plus 30 plot armor. Like,
plus 30 plot armor. It's like, yes.
So the reason where DEI comes in is where they limit your script. So you said producers always ruin shit. Well, they do. They come now. They have DEI. They have sensitivity readers for scripts. So they'll make a script and they go, that shows some inherited or there's some racism there. There's some unconscious bias there. This woman is second fiddle to this man, even though the franchise is about a man named Indiana Jones. It's like, no, he's got to be a broken down old man. And she's got to be the one
who the story's about.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Luke Skywalker treatment. So we're going to subvert this and then we'll call it subverting expectations. And basically this woman who's the key to everything will show our old hero the way where he was wrong, where he used to do stuff. So it's not bringing in a new character and just making her. Nobody gives a shit about if it's a woman or what. We've already talked about that. It's how they do it. For one, they're not feminine at all. They always have to be in power. And it's a bait and switch. It's like where I'm going to see an Indiana Jones movie. I don't want to see Phoebe fucking Waller Bridge running around, and making Indiana Jones look like shit to the point where at the end of the movie, he just wants to die. And as an audience member, I wanted to die.
No, it reminds me of Critical Drinker just did a video on this not too long ago. It's the fucking company. I think it's like Sweet Baby or something like
Sweet
that.
Sweet Baby Inc.
Yeah, yes. They do like video game consulting.
Yes.
Where they will get involved and they're like, all right, well, basically, let me tell you why having a white man as a protagonist is wrong. Let me tell you all the different ways that we can make this more inclusive and more acceptable to people who won't buy your fucking game.
I've never. Oh, my God.
And they just they are behind like people. It's gotten to the point where they have a tracker now. For games that this company has consulted
for. Yeah, it's on Steam.
For.
And it's got over 200,000 followers. God bless the gamers. And
there's a reason we still call it gamer words.
Exactly. Exactly. It's an aggregate. And it basically, if you go on Steam and you follow this account, they will show you every game that Sweet Baby Inc. is involved in. And Sweet Baby Inc. is that sensitivity I was reading. I was telling you about sensitivity reading. There's a thing called bias check. It's all through Hollywood and the funny part is the gaming companies are so fucking lazy that they can't even be woke on their own. They have to outsource their woke. So they outsource their woke to Sweet Baby Inc. who,
ruined shit
is racist as hell. And if the CEO just got busted, it's in the drinker video. And I put it in one of mine too. And we talked about it on Friday Night Tights. The CEO 3 years ago got busted saying, hey, if people don't really want to get on board with this, we need to make these executives scared to death. So, I mean, it's extortion.
They extort it. Yeah,
it's
exactly. Because they basically like, well, it would sure be a shame if we something got on social media and talked about
racist.
How you were racist and how you didn't want to promote the message.
That's exactly what they did. So risk-averse companies go, oh, no, I'm not a racist. We'll hire you. Do whatever you want. Blah, blah, blah. And
here's $250,000. Just make it okay.
And then they write the game, and then the games suck because all of a sudden, for example, Sweet Baby Inc. was involved with Suicide Squad kills the Justice League.
Yeah.
It's another bad Superman story.
Fucking trash.
Total trash. So just to give you an example, Harley Quinn shoots Batman in the head, and the Flash gets killed, and then his corpse is pissed on.
That was so cool.
That's Sweet Baby Inc. That's Sweet Baby Inc.
The problem was, like, it's not like, okay, I know it's called Suicide Squad kills the Justice League, right? Yes. That's fine. It wasn't even written well.
No. The mechanics were bad.
Or Batman kills Joker kills Batman. Which is the one?
Harley Quinn kills Batman.
I know, but in the actual one where Batman dies, or is it Joker dies? That's like the famous comic.
Dark Knight Returns. Are you talking about the Frank Miller one? Because Batman kills Joker.
That one. Like, Joker that's dies. A good Joker story. Yes. How it progresses, and it's breaking.
Yeah.
Even the Arkham Asylum stuff.
There could have been a way you could have done. I mean, this was from the Arkham Asylum world. That's what really pissed people off. Is like, that's the Arkham Asylum Batman who just got his head blown off by Harley Quinn, which is just like, you don't do that. But you're right. There's a way like this could have worked, and there's other reasons why the game didn't work. And this is, I heard this from my friends. I didn't play it. The mechanics were terrible. The story was terrible, and it's a complete flop. But it's also affected so many other games, Alan Wake 2, and it's just one company. It's just one aspect of this DEI problem, which is basically constraining. Yeah, I mean, that's
terrifying.
And we are pretty in tune to the gaming culture.
Yeah,
that's so like the fact that you didn't fucking know is a problem.
It's
killing creativity.
Well, and that's where you can see why AAAs are fucking suffering and dying. Good. And then you have Helldivers 2, which...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. All I want to do is hang out with my fucking boys, hug on a ship, and kill some fucking bugs. How fucking hard is that?
That dude dying... the main dude is a white dude. I never thought about that till you're talking about it right now. And I still have no problem with
it. It's the most Aryan motherfucker on the planet.
Yeah, but it's a hilarious beat. No one... If you're a good human, you don't look at the fucking color of the skin. And you're like, I don't feel... I have the most Mexican name. Eli's not... My first name, last name, I have a fucking Hispanic ass name, more than even Brandon.
Yes.
We're just like, holy shit, that dude, what?
I wouldn't let him in the country based on his name alone.
And that's as it should be, where you're like, hey, because it is.
As it should be.
Yes, you shouldn't let me in the country.
That's what kind of watch list.
But the gameplay, none of us were like, man, did you see the guys? Skin color at the beginning cinematic. We were just like, yo, Darnell shows up. He's like, bros. He's giving us hugs.
For democracy.
Yeah. Yo, our black friends just having a blast. Our Mexican, Cody's the minority.
We all just get to be fucking patriots in power armor and hang out with the fucking boys while I drink and eat Whataburger. Like, it's fucking, that's peak life, dude.
Yeah. No one's a victim in this situation. We're just fucking winning at life. We're talking.
But activists don't want you, for one, they hate gamers. They made it very clear. I think the CEO of Sweet Baby Inc. called them piggy babies. Gamers. Their clientele, piggy babies. So they hate fun. Activists hate fun. Have you ever seen a happy activist? No, you have never seen a happy activist because they don't exist.
They're all pretty fucking fat.
It's like a funny feminist comedian. It's a fucking myth, okay?
Go to Austin. See if you could find a happy, happy activist.
Yeah. It's nothing's happy. I get sad in Austin. That's why I don't go.
I joked around. I existed.
No, I think we're moving towards a time where we can make those jokes though. We need to
we're on the swing back.
We are.
We've been talking about that, dude.
You got to take it back.
The pendulum is starting to swing back in the direction of comedy where people aren't so fucking upset about every fucking thing.
It's almost like context matters, right? That's so fucking
crazy
weird.
Story.
Dude, when you see like Elon roasting Iger, like, billionaires need to roast each other on Twitter like it's that. Hilarious. Like, or it's great. It's good for humanity.
Humanizing.
You know, it is
like you fucking bleed. It is. It's 300 in now. It's just on Twitter.
Exactly.
It's not as
exactly.
Badass, but you bleed. I will roast you and fucking everyone's going to hop on this and cut you down as a person.
Yeah.
If you're a piece of shit.
And I love what Elon said about it, where he's like, yeah, Twitter is the fucking PvP server of social media because it fucking is. It absolutely is.
It is. And I think everything's changed because of that. It's forced all the other platforms. I mean, they're still going to ban you. They're still going to be bad, but they couldn't be as bad because it was really strange when all these giant corporations who are supposed to be in competition with each other are lockstep doing the same thing. Isn't that weird?
Weird.
It's like they are fortifying something. I can't think of what. But Twitter, like, you know, going off the reservation is the best thing to happen to our culture in a long time. It's not perfect. Elon's not perfect. I think he's kind of weird with some stuff. And I work for him and I like the guy. I'm not putting shit in my brain. But
but it is a good step. If there is that diversity, that is the good diversity. Free. Where it is something that is like, hey, let's break the norm. This isn't right. What's happening? Why are these people getting silenced? And like what do we call this? Like blocking what do we call when you get fucking shadow ban?
Yeah.
Shadow banning and all that, where if you Google, it's like, this doesn't exist. Oh, I can. Everyone at this table has the analytics to back that statement.
Which it does.
Although to be fair, like I will play devil's advocate on that one a good bit. There's a lot of people who you say they're getting shadow banned. It's because they feel entitled.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, I'm making content, therefore people should watch it. It's like, okay, about half of you just fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like you suck and nobody watches your shit. You have to make
that distinction. But like if you're watching your, and you're right, that's most of it. You're not being shadow banned.
It does exist.
But it does exist because like if you make certain amount of content, like I went full bore on one video. It kind of went pretty political. Well, I did three political videos. Two of them were just busted on Gavin Newsom because I left California. Those are fun.
Fuck that guy.
I did it for fun. And then the other one was kind of a follow-up. My Razor Fist did a great video and Hollywood Was Always Red. So I kind of did my follow-up to that. And
Hollywood Was Always Red.
Hollywood Was Always Red. One of the best videos by Rageaholic Razor Fist. He breaks it down. It's beautiful. And
what's the premise that he's
the premise with? Is, and he will explain this better. It goes through the unions. It goes through, I mean, like the beginnings of Hollywood through the unions and
like
then the
communist essentially.
And the McCarthy era. And the McCarthy era was focused on other things than Hollywood. It's called the McCarthy era. But it's kind of a misnomer. There's much more to it than that. And it turns out a bunch of commies were actually in Hollywood. He wasn't wrong. And it turns out they are now, too. So my whole point was I was going off of Bill Maher, who's I think is mostly a freaking idiot, was talking about all the communism in Hollywood.
I feel like he's an honest idiot, though.
He's an honest idiot.
Yeah. Like I feel like he's not one that's like just an ideologue that's like bought into the corporations or anything. I feel like he actually like... He'll call people out occasionally.
He will.
I'm like, oh, okay.
He's just uninformed. He's a stoner idiot. Like, you know, Roseanne Barr had to tell him who the WEF was. It's like, you cover news, dude. You don't know what the World Economic Forum is. Like, I'm an idiot nerd, and I know what the WEF is.
My autism doesn't cover that.
Well, they're the people that, you know, want to make sure that you live in the pod and eat the bugs.
Oh, yeah. Stay in line.
Yeah.
Step
but it's good that he calls it out. So I did that video and it performed like it was my best performing video ever. And then YouTube just went beep because it said, well, it's my fault, by the way.
We all know when it's our fault.
Because I put John Cena on the communist flag. Cena's face on Xi Jinping on my thumbnail. We're a little hard on it.
Yeah,
Like, artistically, it was worth it.
Like this one, this is on
but they
me.
They shut it down like the next day. And it got 600,000 views in the first day. And it's gotten like 30,000 views since then. So, as a year old.
Oh, so, wow. That so got it exists.
Definitely.
Yeah, they hit that one.
Yep.
That was like a dude, Cody. My favorite is Cody. So, Cody has the amount of hurdle. He runs an Olympic hurdle race to get his green monetization. Just check.
Oh, yeah.
And it is insane watching it because Cody's like, okay, the guns now sound like ducks. Everything is blurred on the screen. Oh, God. I can't say any murder words.
To be fair, but people die in like one out of every two videos he posts.
But now it's like, wah, 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 blurred. I'm like, I'm playing a Nintendo game and I don't know what the fuck happened. Other than Cody's telling me visually I feel like a deaf man hearing an audiobook.
Well, I only watch his channel when like I'm going into like relapse because I haven't seen him in like fucking 8 hours. So I just like I put on a little donut operator and like you know sleep light some candles.
I don't know how you get monetized at all. Good on you if you do. Like
it's been hard the past couple years, man.
Because, yeah, it started out as like, okay, you can't show death. Okay, I started blurring death. And then they're like, okay, you can't play gunshots. So I started doing duck sounds.
I don't know how the gunshot thing works still, because I still get monetized at all my stuff.
There you go.
They don't hate you, Brandon. You're Mexican.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, they still fucking hate me. Don't go. They fucking hate me.
I support police. Like, that's what's happening there, dude. There's some fucking blue hair sitting at YouTube that is watching my channel. That's like, I can do this and fuck with him.
And if only we had somebody in Congress that was willing to challenge big tech on all of these inconsistencies. Brandon Herrera for Congress.com. $5 per donation gets you an entry into a range day with us. What?
Hey. Wait, is that a thing?
Fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah, we're doing that. We're rolling that out next.
Oh, shit.
Gary's like, this is a political fucking podcast?
He's like, what?
No, this is like the most political. That is probably the most political episode.
It's not my fault this time.
I know. But it's still not fucking political. This is not fucking harping.
Thanks, Erdrotic.
You're welcome.
You son of a bitch.
Communism sucks.
Oh, Nick would love
God.
You.
Yeah,
my God. If you get on with Nick, that'd be lovely. Just the most glorious rants possible.
There you go.
Now we have.
I feel like you're like a Cuban like banana boat refugee from California. You're like, I've seen the other side, brother.
It's not good. It is not good. That prison has a beautiful weather. It's still a prison. So
it is really good weather over there.
It's fucking fantastic. Great.
California is my favorite state in the fucking country. If everybody who lived there just didn't.
Yeah.
they just didn't live there.
If we can pick up Texas, just. Push it there. We'll just switch spots.
Yeah, if we could have a nice coast.
Yeah.
It's a weird coast because Texas.
I would settle for just carving out Austin and giving it to California.
Yeah,
we could trade.
Yeah,
they can
have it. We just cut it
Bakersfield,
out.
Bakersfield, Fresno, they're based. I mean, you know, something.
We just trade cities. Yeah. We're like, okay, deal. We shake on it and it's done. We're like,
I'd love to say San Diego, but it's lost.
So. Now, I am so excited for this one segment because you are an actual true comic book nerd. No, so we run the Offenders. It's kind of like the Avengers. So I am so fucking stoked for this. So you have to pick a superpower and then we get to pick the offset. Before you do this, we all have our own superpowers, which we will explain so you understand the rules of the game.
Yeah.
Cody, what's your superpower?
All right. I can fly. But I have to shout racial slurs in order to fly.
So, saving Section 8 housing becomes an issue. So you see Cody walking up ladders. Like, nope, not today. Brandon, what is yours?
I am invincible, but I kill myself constantly. And I wake up the next day not understanding what happened the day prior.
And that body stays.
And the body stays.
So if he's at a bad age, he just wakes up to ceiling fan, Brandon.
He gets
a question. Yes. And he wakes up to two ceiling band friends. Yeah.
Like, well, man, we did not cope with Thursday well.
Beli, what are we doing?
I am the crime cuck. I travel at the speed of light. I am the Flash, but I can't interact with any object for 5 minutes after using it. So if I show up to certain situations that someone needs help instantly, I'm like, stop.
You phase through stuff.
Yeah, stop doing that to her.
Yeah. Hence, he's the crime. The crime cop.
I'm going to call the cops.
Phases through your cell phone.
So now, what power? We've had individuals with superpowers. We'll tell you if it's been chosen before, and then we get to pick the offset for it.
Oh, okay. Man. Let me tell you a quick story. We made up a superhero called Peeping Tom on our reel.
Oh my God.
Peeping Tom. Peeping Tom wants to do is look at tits. That's all he wants to do. But he never gets to because of his x-ray powers. He always ends up solving a mystery accidentally. But he never wants to. And he just wants to lick at boobs. And we have a whole lore of Peeping Tom.
He already has his own Offenders power.
Yeah, let's welcome him to the Offenders.
Holy shit. Welcome, Peeping Tom.
Okay, there you go. Well, I can't be Peeping Tom because he's my co-host. So we'll have to think of something else. Fuck it. Sorry, I don't mean to leave you hanging. Screw it. I'll rip it off.
Peeping Tom is part of the Offenders. Yeah, and
Peeping
now.
Tom.
What's your superpower?
Yours,
I would like to have healing power. I would go with Wolverine's power.
I don't think we have that.
Super healing. Very enduring, and I'd live forever.
You do. So Wolverine or Deadpool both have the same.
Yeah, save healing power. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have hyper healing.
I would like it without like the cancerous shit though. Like Wolverine's cooler.
Okay.
I mean, I'd have to. You're never be allowed. Canadian, to,
I've got one right off the bat. It's not necessarily the only part of your offset, but it's definitely a part. You're never allowed to be circumcised.
Wait, are you circumcised right now?
You are right now.
Yeah.
Well, your healing
that'll change later.
Healing power would switch this, obviously.
I've never been asked that by a bunch of dudes. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't have any offenders. Yeah. Well,
yes. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be an anteater. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Ant-Man. So like right off the bat, no matter what offset you have, you're just uncircumcised. Okay. No matter what.
You get it. Your wife could be like, I'm perfection. Your wife's like,
not really. Yeah.
Did you wash under that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you scrub? Show's laughing because she's from Ireland. She's like, no one circumcised
that. No, it's so weird.
Everyone has fucking anteaters.
You fucking anteater eater.
She's an anteater eater.
I'm calling Dave right now.
Dave, let me see your aardvark. Okay, shit. So that's one offset is that. Oh, what is the other offset for super healing?
Oh, damn it. Man. I was almost going, I didn't want to be too rough, but I was going to go back to.
It's all right.
All right, you're always burned alive.
All right.
What the fuck?
Jesus. Yeah, Deadpool.
Well, he doesn't want the fucked up skin, but you're Cody. I think you're on. Wait, hold on.
Well, you still feel it.
We're getting somewhere.
It still hurts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the time.
It just hurts all the time.
What is the offset in order to activate the healing thing?
Activate the healing power. It's like you got to get kicked in the balls or something like that constantly.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Actually, it's hilarious if your dick is the only thing that doesn't have that superpower. So yes. You're hyper aware of that one thing. So you have just extra armor. You just have armor everywhere around your penis. That is your costume. Yes. They're like, why are you naked but just a titanium cup? I can't reveal.
I can't reveal it. There's only one way to kill me.
Oh, God. You want to tell them about meat canyons?
So
we had Meat Canyon on.
You know Hunter, Meat Canyon?
Yes.
You grew up around. His cartoons are like the amazing things. Cody, go.
Okay. He can stretch. Like, you know, he's like Fantastic Four. He can stretch. But before he does it, he has to beat the shit out of his wife.
and as Hunter said, chip tooth or black eyes.
It's got to be.
Unfortunately, we weren't the ones who came up with that offset. He volunteered it.
Yeah, we were like, but what about the offset? He's like, I got you. We're like, oh, you're a first.
He didn't even have the power yet. He's just like, I don't know, I'll stretch or some shit. But
this is how my superpower works. I gotta beat the shit out of it. And you're like, huh. Hunter is fucking comedy gold when it came to that.
Brilliant. I wasn't. Sorry.
No. We usually choose the offset. Okay. I like the idea of the penis is the one. It's your my Achilles. Weakness.
It's my Achilles penis.
Wait, story of our lives, brother.
It's in the truest form.
In the truest form.
So the dick doesn't heal.
The dick doesn't heal.
Yeah.
All right. So you're safe from uncircumcision.
I'm safe.
He's invincible.
But it's
got to
stay
cock.
Locked in my adamantium cup or whatever. Yeah,
your name.
Oh,
yeah.
God, no.
Penis
oh.
is
Achilles. It's just penis.
What is the Achilles penis?
or let's go biblical with it. Samson.
There you go.
Where it's like if he gets his dick cut, if he gets circumcised, he loses all his of his powers. So like you're God. Just a really afraid of Jewish people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ground Jews.
So
are coming.
Nothing has changed.
Space lasers and ground Jews. Oh no.
That's the title of this episode. Yeah. Space lasers and ground Jews.
Dude, on the Dr. Evil table, he's like, it's just a laser pointed to some
laser beam.
Like, no.
Delilah, you bitch.
Dude, this has been a fucking pleasure having you. Cody,
close this out, good soul?
Everyone, thank you for joining the Unsubscribed Podcast. I was joined today by Eli Doublefap, Nerd Roddick, Brandon Herrera, and myself, Donut. Thank you for chilling. We're going to be on the Patreon soon. If you want to see the after podcast, check that out.
And then where can we find your stuff, good sir?
Oh, Nerdrotic on YouTube, and I'm on Spotify, even though I'm not getting paid for it because I'm not some dumb.
He learned something today.
I learned something today.
We're business folks.
And we teach at Nerdrotics on Twitter. There you go.
Awesome. And again, be sure, let's get him over 1 million by the time this this episode comes out.
Ah, thanks.
Any other new adventures or anything like that you want to plug?
Well, within the next, I'll have another video on. My next movie review will be The American Society of Magical Negroes coming out next week.
Oh, right.
Oh, shit. That hasn't come out yet. Coming out.
It hasn't come out yet.
I saw the trailer. I might fucking just casually watch that. But
oh, yeah.
Have you seen it?
I got my tickets. I'm going to see it next Thursday, and then I'll put out a review.
I hope. This is a flip of the coin.
We'll see. I'm guessing major disaster, but I could be wrong. So
it might be so bad, it's kind of fun.
Yeah. Kind of like Madam Web.
And on that note.